And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up on the show tomorrow, it's Midday at the Movies. Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post and Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival, will stop by to chat amiably about the current cinema. Plus, Jaywin Russick will review Exclusion at Arena Stage in Washington. And now I am delighted to welcome back the best-selling author, filmmaker, and designer Hilton Carter, who has written four books about cultivating and caring for houseplants. His first three books are Wild at Home, Wild Interiors, and Wild Creations, in which Hilton told us how to choose the right plants for our home and how to take care of them so they thrive. His latest book is called Living Wild, How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. Hilton Carter will be talking about his book tonight at 6 o'clock at the Ivy Bookshop, and he joins us on Zoom. Hilton, welcome back.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
It's great to have you. And listeners, I'm sorry, but we are having a little bit of trouble with our Zoom connections today, so there might be a little delay between me and Hilton as we talk about this fantastic book. Congratulations on it. It's just beautiful. And it's the whole concept of it is terrific. There's just joy on every page. When you talk about cultivating happiness, this is really something that you have become an expert in. I mean, the surrounding yourself with these beautiful plants in these interior spaces is something that you specialize in. And talk about, you know, where the joy of this comes from for you.
Well, for me, Tom, I believe that all of the real tangible benefits of bringing plants into your home are received through the process of care. So for me, when I am at my happiest and the life surrounded by plants, it's through that process of watering them, wiping down the leaves, rotating them, watching as those new leaves unfurl, and the power and the excitement that that brings me. So I think a lot of that is what I try to speak on about. It's not just being surrounded by plants that will help trigger that serotonin to make you feel good about life in your home, but it's that process of care. Maybe you're struggling with a plant, and then the work that you put into it that you start to see come back, you start to feel good about that. So my process is you nurture what nurtures you, and the process of that is really what is giving and what is bringing everyone, and definitely me, a lot of happiness and joy.
Yeah, it's absolutely true that, you know, when you've got a plant that's struggling and you turn it around and it comes back. I mean, it's a great, great feeling. This book is a compendium of places that you have styled with plants, including your own home and the homes of various clients that you've had. There's a restaurant or two in here as well that you've done. You describe your style as modern lush, which is a great thing. Anybody who could ever, you know, affiliate me with the words modern and lush, I'd be all for. But it's a great way of describing what one sees when one turns the pages of this book. How would you describe your approach to doing, to get to modern lush?
Well, Tom, I really love the idea that you would want to also be a part of that. This modern lush movement. For me, it's literally like trying to figure out what aligns with your own aesthetic. For me, it's clean lines, it's whites and grays and blacks, all of the modern aspects that tie to that sort of aesthetic, but then bringing in that greenery that falls into what I say is the new green movements, different types of plant life, not only those that we are used to or we've seen in many different places, but some of the rare plants that connect to not only your love for plants, but have that sort of color, that texture, that shape that ties to the same sort of feel that the decor in our home has. So I speak a lot about how plants, and I call them designer plants, can connect to particular types of pieces in your home. And I like to think about that as an artist, how color, texture, shape, size, light, all work in a space, and you can do a lot of that with plants.
Hilton Carter, the new book is called Living Wild: How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. If you are interested in cultivating some happiness and you have a question about houseplants, this is the guy to ask. 410-662-8780. That's our number here at Midday, and our email, midday@wipr.org. So we've talked about this in the past with some of your previous books, but give us a little refresher when it comes to the sort of basics of how to approach placing and choosing plants for a space. You talk about levels and layering and grouping, in addition to what you've just mentioned with, you know, texture and color, etc. Talk about your approach to levels, layering, and grouping.
For sure. Well, I think the first thing, when I speak on plant styling, let's say, the want in for anyone is to make sure they understand what type of light is coming into their space. So they can't get to levels and layering and grouping plants until they know what type of light they have coming into the particular spot in their homes, so that then they can gather the right plants that can thrive in that type of light, and then do levels and layers and grouping. Now, when I speak of layers, it's all about understanding that you want to provide every single plant that you're, let's say, pushing into a corner, give them their opportunity in the light. Kind of see it as a, like you're setting up a photo, right? Like our old school school photos, where they would put some kids in the front, some kids in the back, or I guess in the middle ground, and some kids in the background, but they will all be on different levels or on like stands so that you can see everyone. That's kind of how you want to do it when you're talking about layers with your plants. So every single plant has their moment in the light, and you also are making room for them to also be cared for. So you're not pushing plants so far back that you can't really get to them to water them. When it comes to levels, you're kind of thinking about it as, how do we exist? If we're trying to bring the outdoors in, how does greenery exist in the outdoor world? We see greenery at our feet, we see greenery at eye level, and we see greenery above us. So using hanging plants to have plants above us, or bigger tree-like plants that throw foliage above us in a room, making sure that you have plants maybe on pedestals that can sit in the medium ground space in your home. And then obviously having plants along the floor can also allow for that sort of idea of what the outdoors are now indoors. And grouping is basically just the understanding of, sometimes you're trying to create an idea, a sort of scene. So if you're someone that is looking to maybe create a moment in Phoenix, Arizona, or some sort of desert scene, you might want to group a bunch of cacti in a particular corner. Or if you're really trying to create more of a tropical oasis for yourself, you're thinking about tropical plants, then you apply all different types of tropical plants into that space, so that not only does it give that sort of look for you, but it also makes it easier for you to understand care and how to care for those. Especially, let's say during this time, a lot of people are going on vacation. It's easier to have someone come in and water your plants if they're all kind of grouped together based on their like-mindedness. So if you have a bunch of cacti all together versus all spread out throughout your home, the individual coming to care for your plants will know, I don't have to care for this section at all. I can just make my way over to the tropicals or the plants that need to be watered, or the ferns, let's say, every other day and tend to them. So that's how I break down all those different types of ideas when it comes to plant styling.
And by the way, I need to tell you that the last time you were here, I admitted to being a cacti killer. Just to succulents in general, I had bad luck with, but I have now reformed my watering ways. I've got it figured out, and I have a cactus that's doing great. So I just want you to know that I'm yet another happy mini client, because you told me, hey, Tom, quit watering the darn thing so much. And I did, and it's doing great. Hilton Carter, the new book is called Living Wild: How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. We'll have more with Hilton Carter on the other side of a quick break, and you are welcome to join us with your questions and comments. 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is Hilton Carter. He's a filmmaker and a best-selling author about the care and parenting of houseplants. He's got well more than 500,000 followers on Instagram, and his books are bestsellers. His latest is a beautiful, elegant, inspiring chronicle of places that he has plant-styled, from his own home to public spaces like the Alma Cucina Latina restaurant and private homes he has designed. The book shows endless possibilities for plants that enliven and enrich the rooms they live in. It's called Living Wild: How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. Hilton Carter will be speaking about the new book tonight at 6 o'clock at the Ivy Bookshop, and he'll be with us here on Midday until the top of the hour. You are welcome to join us if you have a question or comment, 410-662-8780, or you can email us midday@wypr.org. So, Hilton, I mentioned Alma Cucina Latina. You also plant-styled the home of the owners of Alma Cucina, Irina Stein and Mark Demshak. Irina, a wonderful restaurateur and activist in town. She's just a terrific person who's done so much to help move our city forward. When you walk into their home, when you walk into the to Alma Cucina, what's the first thing you do? I mean, you mentioned looking at the light, but I wonder what's sort of step one to figure out where you want to put certain plants and the reasons for that?
Tom, I definitely want to say that Irina is one of the best people, her and Mark. They both own Alma, and I think that it's their care for the city and everyone else. You can see that when you walk into either the restaurant or into their home, how genuine these people are. So if I walk into anyone's home, especially theirs, the first thing I'm looking for is what are they already dealing with when it comes to greenery and how they already are displaying those sort of plants throughout the home. I'm also looking at their own aesthetic. So I'm trying to figure out what jives well with what they already have decor-wise. Are we dealing with period pieces? Are we more thrifty? Are we more big box store furnishings? Are we modern? Are we industrial? Trying to figure out how those sort of ideas can then tell me what types of plants can play well with all of the other pieces that they already have in the home. So that's how I first started.
And it really is, you're looking for the plant dimension of any particular room to be a reflection of their personalities. I mean, you really want it to come through what Irina and Mark are all about.
For sure. I think that there's a lot that can tell the story of who we are, and that's beyond the clothing that we wear and the furniture that we have in our home, the photos that we possibly may have up in our home. It's the plants as well. And a lot of us have connections, memories that are tied to particular types of plants that we've had as younger kids or that we've seen at a grandparent's home or that we've surrounded ourselves with when we were on a special vacation. And it's trying to figure out those sort of details, those moments that are special for the individuals whose homes I'm styling or spaces that I'm styling, and trying to connect those to those spaces. So I worked on a space called Bark Lavelle, which is one of the best places in Baltimore. And I was thinking about how can we talk about bringing plants into this space that are tied to Mexico and only to Mexico versus just throwing anything in there that is green. We want to speak on if they're trying to transport us to these small cities in Mexico, then I want that entire space, that entire feeling to also be there when it comes to the plants.
We have a question from Judy who says, how often should we water aloe plants?
Judy, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, aloe is so great. I love aloe. Aloe is one of the plants that if you're someone who definitely has too much on your plate, and you want plants in your home, bring in the aloe. Judy, I will tell you this, from November, late November, maybe early December until 2 weeks ago, honestly, I did not water my aloe. And the reason why, they hold so much moisture during that dormant period. So right now, depending on where you have them and how bright that particular area is, Spring and summer, you're going to probably want to start watering them every 2 to 3 weeks, but I would lean more towards the 3 weeks versus the 2 weeks. Some of my aloe is outside, so it is being watered by the rain when it does rain here. But I would say if you have it in a really bright spot outside, you might need to water it more often, maybe every once a week, every other 2 weeks, if it's like in direct sun, western facing direct sun. But if you have it in a home right now, every 2 to 3 weeks would be perfect.
And that's, you know, a really important point that you've made in all of your books is that, you know, each plant is going to be, it's going to require different kinds of parenting at different types or different times of the year. And
that's correct.
Aloe is a perfect example. And aloe is also a great plant to have around. Also, if you're a klutz in the kitchen like I am and you're burning yourself.
For sure.
If you're burning yourself all the time, you just flip off a little piece of aloe and it'll heal you if you've had any trouble in that regard. We've got Scott, who's a big fan, who says, my friend and coworker Catherine Crosby is an interior designer, and she knows my love of houseplants, and she's just gifted me your book, and I am so excited because it's the most wonderful I have ever seen. So there's a big fan in Scott.
Love that.
You also photographed all of the incredible pictures in this book. That's a trick as well. I mean, how do you go about capturing these, you know, these very vibrant, but, you know, dynamic and living things that are in these photographs that you've taken?
Oh, I don't know how I go about it. That's a great question. I mean, my background is in art. So I went to give some Maryland shout outs here. I went to Carver Center for Art and Technology, learned everything necessary when it comes to understanding composition, color, the theory of thirds and all of that, and then went to MICA, Maryland Institute College of Art, after that, and just studied how to understand photography and everything that involves being able to capture the content necessary to have it in my book. So I just feel confident in the fact that every space has its good side, right? And I try to find that good side, and so do plants, and try to find that good side and show it in its best light, and also show it in its worst light. I did get a compliment not so long ago. I believe it was from one of my friends, maybe it was Sarah Kennedy. I can't remember, but someone said that they love the fact that I did show yellowing leaves, browning leaves, things that are natural to plants in most of our homes. And to me, like, capturing that sort of look is reality. When we're talking about bringing the outdoors in, I always say there's nothing wrong with seeing a leaf start to turn yellow or having brown tips. That's what happens in nature. That's what's going to be expected in your home. So everything doesn't have to be green and vibrant. While you want that to happen, older growth is going to start to die back. You will start to see discoloration here and there. Don't be too hard on yourselves if you see that happen. That's life. That's the way it takes place. And you should celebrate that, enjoy that, because you're seeing life do its thing right there in front of you. But you just want to be on top of the care process. But those little small details, those little nuances, that's the beauty of life itself. And I like to capture that and show that in all of my books.
Yeah, yellow and brown leaves is a major reality in my house, I'll tell you. And but, you know, you gotta roll with the flow. I had a hearts of palm plant that I have had for probably 6 years. And I keep it outside in the summer on my deck. It's lots of sun and these beautiful little purple flowers that come out in the morning. And then I bring it inside in the winter, and it's right next to a window for the winter. And it did great. Again, it grows like crazy. I'm always chopping it back as it gets huge. It's like, you know, Rapunzel with the hair coming down from the castle. And so I took it out Mother's Day weekend a couple weeks ago and put it out on the deck, and it promptly just withered and almost died. I've been able to save like two or three little strands of it, and we're going to start over with this guy. But did I just bring it out too early, or any tips on what I shouldn't do next time?
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult to do that transition from indoor to outdoor. It has to be a gradual transition. It can't just be straight from your inside your house pushed right into the sun, right? And also temperature-wise, you have to be very mindful of that. as well. It can shock the plant and kill it if you're not aware of the temperature changes that can take place. So I would say, for me, it's always a good rule of thumb, or we say a rule of green thumb, to try to wait until Mother's Day to start pushing plants back outdoors. And then gradually, you know, like if you're giving a farsipalm, if you're going to try to provide that with the light it needs, you're going to probably try to force that, as soon as you take it outside, into like a northern facing side of your home, so it can get more of a shaded sort of light. And then gradually, maybe a week later, a week or two later, take it to like an eastern side of your home, so it can get the best type of light that it would need, which is direct sun for a few hours, and then shade, or I would say bright indirect light after that as well.
All right, that's good news, and glad to know that perhaps I can avoid having that problem next year. This surprised me. I found out that just a couple of weeks ago you launched a collection that's being sold in stores like Target and stuff of artificial plants. And I was, that's wild that Hilton Carter is doing artificial plants. But we got a half a minute left here. Tell us about how is your approach to artificial plants, you know, fundamentally the same as to the living ones?
No, I believe, well, the reason why there's artificial plants in my collection at Target is just because everyone deserves the opportunity to bring greenery into their home. Not everyone has the same sort of light coming into their home, the same idea of how to care for a plant, the same time, same sort of space. A lot of us have dark spaces. So instead of killing a plant, why not have the ability to bring plants in that are artificial, that can still give off that look, that can still trigger us to what is happening in the outdoor world and fill us with that love for nature. I would say this, the easiest thing I can say is that when I grew up, my mom had a lot on her plate. She had a lot to do, a lot of work. She had a child to care for. She loved plants, but she knew she couldn't care for them because she had to care for me. So she had artificial plants. And I know there are a lot of individuals out there like my mother who want to have plants, but know they just don't have the time to care for them. And I don't want them to miss out on what is important. And it's that feeling of joy and love when you are surrounded by what feels like nature and can connect you to that idea of nature itself.
Indeed. Well, there is lots and lots of joy and love that just exudes from every page of this terrific book. It's called Living Wild, How to Plant Style Your Home and Cultivate Happiness. Hilton Carter will be speaking about his book on the back patio of the Ivy Bookshop tonight at 6 o'clock. My bet is that it's going to be very crowded, so you might want to arrive early. Hilton, thank you so much and congratulations. Terrific.
I appreciate you, Tom. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. That's it for us today. Tomorrow, it's midday at the movies, rather, with Anne Hornaday and Jed Dietz, plus J. Wynn Russick will review Exclusion at the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
On the next Fresh Air, Why Fathers Cry at Night. We talk with Kwame Alexander. His new memoir is about his life as a father and as the son of a Baptist preacher of Black liberation theology. It's also about falling in love and divorce. This is Alexander's first book for adults. He won the Caldecott Medal for his book, The Undefeated. Join us.
Fresh Air starts this afternoon at 3, right after Here and Now, which is next. Right here on Your Public Radio. After Fresh Air, listen at 4 for All Things Considered and a look at some of the day's top news. And then stay tuned at 6:30 for Marketplace.
For college towns, when the colleges shut their doors, it hurts.